Welcome to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Here's Cole Thompson.
And here we go. Welcome into Just Saying It right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Cole Thompson back in the driver's seat, getting caught up on everything you might have missed headed into Tuesday's action. 800-224-2004. Call in the show. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. Let's be real. You love everything about this show. You know you love everything about this show. And we want to hear from you, the listener. So make sure you call in. 800-224-2004. At Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter. At Sports Map Radio. The wonderful Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing. Fun final hour to get through. 2-minute warning coming up in about 6 minutes. What do we know about the NFL? What do we hear about the NFL? The Ravens, they lose again to Jacksonville. Is it the loss in Jacksonville that hurts, or is it the way they lost to Jacksonville that hurts? We'll talk about that in about 20 minutes. Plus, Kenny Pickett, he has something. I don't know what that something is, but we're going to figure it out together. That in about 25 minutes. But I start the hour off today with this. I like when you see NBA teams, when you see NFL teams get aggressive, kind of take a swing. Maybe it's not enough to get them over the hump as a legitimate Super Bowl or a World Series or NBA title contender. But it's a step in the right direction to where you know your numbers are going to be better. One of the more under-the-radar moves that I really liked this offseason from the NBA, and the reason I know it was a really good move was because I watched the San Antonio Spurs all the time. I loved the Atlanta Hawks trade for DeJounte Murray. I thought it was a really good deal to bring in yet another backcourt player to pair along with Trae Young, especially one that's done a nice job defensively. And you're kind of seeing it all come together. Last night, they lost to the Philadelphia 76ers, but you've seen DeJounte Murray really play, if not like an all-star, very close to an all-star. Currently, he's averaging 28 points per game, 6 rebounds, 6.7 assists, and when you pair that with what Trae Young has been doing this year, with 28.2 points per game, 9.4 assists, both of which are shooting about 35 to 38% from the court, that's a really nice pairing. And you know what? It's a good building block for the future. A lot of teams want to be able to build in either the rebuild process or add in that ace in the hole and take a step forward. Atlanta, I don't know if they're going to be able to take that necessary step forward of becoming an Eastern Conference semifinalist champion or maybe even an Eastern Conference champion, but I do believe that they're right in the middle. Two good pieces for the long term and short.
Time for the 2-minute warning around the NFL. No! Here's Cole Thompson.
Each and every day at this time, we go around the NFL, breaking down some of the biggest storylines you might have missed, and we do so in 2 minutes or less, hence the reason we call it the 2-minute warning. Oh, Michael, you can start the clock. Got it.
Melvin Gordon will continue his 2022 season in the AFC West. The Kansas City Chiefs are expected to sign Gordon to their practice squad. It was added that Gordon should be active soon after spending the past week as a free agent. In addition to signing Gordon, the Chiefs also signed wide receiver Bryan Edwards per the transaction wire. Edwards is the former third-round pick of the Raiders, was previously waived by the Falcons. Gordon was waived by the Denver Broncos following a Week 10 overtime loss to the Raiders in which he lost a crucial fumble at the goal line. Gordon's blunder continued what had been a mistake-riddled season in Denver with a total of 5 fumbles, 2 of which were lost. The Broncos had limited Gordon's playing time earlier in the season because of his fumbles. A 2-time Pro Bowler during his run with the Chargers, Gordon has 69 career touchdowns, 55 rushing, 14 receiving, in 108 games played and is primed to be plenty motivated during the Chiefs' stretch run. Kansas City has yet to play its 2 divisional games against Denver this season, with a primetime road matchup in Week 14 and a home game versus the Broncos in Week 16.
So here's one thing I will say. Until we know where Clyde Edwards-Helaire will come back, if he will come back, they need running back help. They do. I mean, their leading running back is Isaiah Pacheco. who's averaging 4.7 yards per play. He has two big runs. He's averaging about 41.4 yards per game. And mostly he's used as a scat back. So they need some running back help. Isn't it funny how just you see the way Patrick Mahomes can just sell an organization himself? Like, did you hear, Michael, you heard about this, the Houston Astros. They just got Jose Abreu, that superstar first baseman from the Chicago White Sox. You saw that, right?
Yes.
So, they don't have a GM. Like the Astros are making deals just because they're the Astros. Hey, you want to come play for us? We're the World Series champs. Yeah, I want to come play for you. It's kind of the same thing with Kansas City. Hey, we have Patrick Mahomes. You want to come play for us? Yeah, I'm okay with that. Because also, Melvin Gordon's eventually going to be added to the active roster. I don't think anybody is going to deny that. But right now, he is going to be on the practice squad. Bryan Edwards, also a former third-round pick who played at Las Vegas and then got traded to Atlanta, is also going to be playing on the practice squad. Both are going to get raised at some point this year, and they're both going to come and make an impact. I look right now at Melvin Gordon, and if he can be that burly back and not worry about the turnovers, and maybe a fresh start and a new scenery will do wonders for him. Really, it will. Just imagine this team. You have a legitimate, two multi-talented, 1,000-yard running back in your backfield, along with a scat back that has been making headlines left and right. Potentially, you get back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If not, you also have Jerick McKinnon, who can be a limited role. Travis Kelce, Juju Smith-Schuster, Mecole Hardman, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Sky Moore, Noah Gray, Kadarius Toney if he can get healthy. I mean, look at this roster. Look at this personnel. Like, Patrick Mahomes watched Tyreek Hill peace out in the offseason because he didn't get paid enough money, and they've basically found a way to get even more dangerous at every single level. They can run the football. They can pass the football. There's multiple receivers that do wonders after the catch. They are consistent on third down. And they're only going to get better. Because if now you add in yet a legitimate lead running back to pair along with Pacheco, and you add in Bryan Edwards, who I think at this point is going to go off for like 200 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns in 2 games. Watch it happen. Somehow, we let this happen every single year. Kansas City just gets even more talented every single season. And it's kind of getting annoying, right? Yeah, it is Kansas City.
The Cleveland Browns officially added quarterback Deshaun Watson to the team 53 team's 53-man active roster on Monday, clearing the way for Watson to start on Sunday against the Houston Texans, his old team. Watson had missed the first 11 games of the 2022 season while serving a suspension for violating the league's personal conduct policy. Under the terms of the settlement reached between the league and the NFLPA, following an appeal of Watson's initial six-game suspension after accusations by more than 20 women of sexual misconduct during massage therapy sessions, Watson had not been permitted to practice until the week of November 14th. Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski confirmed to reporters on Monday that Watson will start their Week 13 game and Jacoby Brissett will return to the backup role. Sunday will mark Watson's first regular season game since the finale of the 2020 season when he played for the Texans. Watson requested a trade weeks after the end of the 2020 campaign. He did not play at all during the 2021 season under an agreement with the Texans and after no trade materialized during that season.
So we're going to talk about this in much vivid detail, like in so much more vivid detail this week. I really do want to bring this up. But let's just go ahead and break down the easy things. There's an opportunity still. It's slim. I mean, it's almost slim to none. But there still is an opportunity for Cleveland to make the postseason if Deshaun Watson looks like his former 2020 self. If he looks like his 2019 self, they're probably going to make the postseason. But let's just say the 2020 season, where Houston went 4-12, but he set a franchise record in passing yards and a franchise record in passing touchdowns. Game against the Texans, worst team in the NFL. Game against the Ravens, they find ways to fall apart in the fourth quarter. Game against the Saints, arguably the most underwhelming team in the NFC. Maybe not the worst team, but certainly the most underwhelming team. Pittsburgh, up and down, hot and cold team. They can beat up against really bad teams. They can easily, beat up is probably the wrong word. They can go toe-to-toe with other bad teams. They're going to get their ass handed to them by good teams. Washington, that's a loss. So, at best, in my opinion, they're going to be 9-8 if Deshaun Watson can play like 2020 version. If he can play like 2019 version, maybe they can go 10-7. Season's not lost. Defense has got to play better. But getting that win over Tampa Bay, getting that big, big, big overtime win over Tampa Bay was so crucial for morale going into the final stretch of the Jacoby Brissett era. To start the Deshaun Watson era off on the right note is a positive for Cleveland. I will give them credit there. Do I want to see Deshaun Watson be successful? Hell no. Absolutely hell no. And this is me talking as a fan. This is not me talking as a fan. This is me talking as a native Texan. Somebody who grew up in the state. Somebody who grew up in the state and watched Deshaun Watson. And the way he handled it. Like a man child. I don't want to see him be successful. But I have to be legit. And I have to be real. There are offensive pieces. They have a good rushing attack. Offensive line is fine. You have Amari Cooper as your number one receiver. You could be going to a worse situation. If Watson doesn't show any rust on his arm, on his accuracy, on his timing, his precision, he's going to kick Houston's ass. Absolutely he is. But if he doesn't, well, here's the good news. You have him signed for a long-term deal. Basically, this was always a wash season. Time to figure out what Deshaun Watson's going to be when he comes back. Maybe it's a little bit of both. Bad, good, in between. Who's to say?
The streaking Cincinnati Bengals should have Ja'Marr Chase back for Week 13 showdown with the Kansas City Chiefs. Chase is expected to return this week after missing the past four games due to a hip injury. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reported Monday per a source informed of the plan. The star wideout was close to returning for Sunday's 20-16 win over the Tennessee Titans, but the Bengals played it safe. Last week, Chase was limited in practice and listed as questionable before being ruled out. Getting the second-year pro back for a stretch run would be a big boon for the Bengals' playoff chances. In seven games this season, Chase has surpassed the 125-yard barrier three times. He has 605 total receiving yards on 47 catches with six touchdowns on the season. Winners of three straight, the Bengals moved to the number six seed in the AFC following Sunday's win and pulled even with the Ravens at 7-4 in the AFC North.
Again, I've said this in the start. I think that if Cincinnati can get healthy, they're going to give a run for the money with Baltimore. Because Baltimore right now is falling apart in the fourth quarter. They're unable to close out games. Baltimore should be a lot better than they are. We're actually going to talk about that in just a couple minutes. So let's not go too much into detail. But look at their schedule moving forward. They have a game against the Chiefs. That's probably a loss, even if you do have Ja'Marr Chase out there. Afterward, Browns, probably a win. Buccaneers, probably a win. Patriots, probably a win. Ravens, I think right now I'd give the edge, even though because it's a home game, but also what I've seen from the offense, I'd give a slight edge to Cincinnati. The only game left on the schedule outside of Kansas City that they could probably lose, in my opinion right now, is Buffalo. Now, will they win out? Will they finish with 12 wins? Probably not. I think they'll probably at least drop one more game and finish somewhere between that 11-6, 12-5 record. Not 13-4. Not 13-4. But if you get healthy at the right time, you're in a good spot. This defense has actually been playing extremely well, and no one's been talking about it. And at the same time, if you have a three-headed monster, which we know is available, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, if you get healthy and bring back Joe Mixon, plus the way Joe Burrow is playing football, you could be in a worse situation. You really could. Everyone wants to talk about the Super Bowl hangover for the team that doesn't win. And even though I do think that Los Angeles would have made the postseason if they did stay healthy with Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, now Aaron Donald's dealing with an injury, Matthew Stafford's missed some games, A'shaun Robinson's out now, literally can I just stop, pour myself a drink, call it a day? Like, that's what I'd do if I was a Rams fan. I always thought that you would see more regression from Cincinnati. And instead, Cincinnati actually has been playing like one of the better teams in the AFC. And maybe if they do get the upset win over Kansas City, we have to start respecting them just a little bit more. Not in the sense of actually being a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I still think it's a little far-fetched. Right now, there's only about three teams I'd put in that category. Maybe four if Buffalo can stay healthy defensively. But I will say that if Kansas City goes toe-to-toe with Cincinnati in a rematch, you may not want to go ahead and have this matchup again.
Winner. Tristan Wirfs received moderately positive news about his health status Monday. The Buccaneers tackle is expected to miss 3-4 weeks due to an ankle injury, but his knee is fine. Bucks coach Todd Bowles told reporters Monday that Wirfs is week to week with a high ankle sprain. Wirfs suffered the ankle injury during overtime of the Tampa Bay's Week 12 loss to Cleveland and was immediately carted off the field, causing plenty of concern regarding his outlook for the remainder of the 2022 season. Because of the initial appearance of the injury, Fox declined to show a replay of it, leaving most to expect bad news. Instead, Wirfs has something to look forward to beyond the holidays. A three-four week time frame means the Buccaneers will have to find an answer at right tackle for the next month for what is already a banged up offensive line, but it's better than losing Wirfs for the remainder of the season.
He's got a high ankle sprain, so he'll be as tolerated, so we'll see how he goes from week to week.
Is there any chance that he plays on Monday night against the Saints?
I don't think so. He's a tough guy, but I don't think so.
Again, like, you're just basically putting a Band-Aid on a bad situation is the only way I can put Tampa Bay right now. Like, they're the best worst team in the worst division in the NFL. And yeah, I will say they're the worst division in the NFL. Because if even though the AFC South is a dumpster fire with Houston, you just watch what happened on Monday Night Football with Indianapolis. Jacksonville, they're hitting their stride finally with Trevor Lawrence. Still, they're nowhere near being a legitimate AFC playoff contender, and they're certainly nowhere near being a Super Bowl contender. This is the only good team, and by good, I mean they're only good because they have Tom Brady. Take Tom Brady off Tampa Bay. What are they? 3 wins? Maybe 4? Maybe even less than that? Plus the injuries? Plus the concerns with the defense? It's not been a good year for the Buccaneers, and it's not going to get better with Tristan Wirfs being out. Now, again, I do think that they win the division, but that's in large part just due to who's playing quarterback. I mean, Sam Darnold, Marcus Mariota, Andy Dalton, Tom Brady. Which one are you picking out of a lineup? Seriously, which one are you picking? Even at 45 years old, I'm picking Tom Brady. But don't tell me for 1 second that Tampa Bay is winning a Super Bowl this year or that they're going to go out on top. They'll be a one and done in the playoffs, even if Tristan Wirfs comes back healthy. There you have it. 2 minute warning. Right here on Just Saying It.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Tucker, kick on the way, online, does it have the distance? No! And the Jaguars win!
No, you know, like I said, in practice, everything looked good. You know, we looked crisp in practice and stuff like that. We just missed opportunities, and, you know, when you're playing a game like this, you know, a tough environment, you can't miss those. We need those, everything, catches, throws, we need everything, you know, put points on the board, separate, help our defense, you know, keep their momentum going.
We're competitors, you know. I mean, everybody in that locker room is a competitor, you know. It stings, you know, you're upset, you lost, but, you know, our heads are going to be high. You know, we're going to, you know, go out there, you know, with purpose, you know, this week, try to find a way to win next week's game. You know, I mean, against a scrappy team that's, you know, very similar. Great defense, you know, weapons all over the field, you know. So, you know, 24-hour, we'll watch the tape, we'll, you know, make our corrections, and then it's on to Denver, you know. But I know, you know, we got some dogs in there, you know. I mean, you know, a lot of guys who play football at a high level, you know, and so, you know, good teams don't let these games beat you twice, you know. And I know we're, you know, we're a good team, you know. We just didn't get it done today, but, you know, going forward, I got a lot of confidence in my guys, and I know the feelings all the way through the locker room. You know, we know who we are.
24-hour window, Calais Campbell. But why is the 4 more impressive than anything else? Credit Fox on the call for the Justin Tucker missed field goal, and credit Lamar Jackson for basically saying what all of us are thinking. You blew your opportunity. 800-224-2004. I love Baltimore. I said at the very start of the year, I think Baltimore on paper is one of, if not the best team in the AFC North, and I still kind of believe that. I trust Lamar Jackson. I trust the rushing attack. And late in the season, if you don't have a good ground game to where you can move the sticks, own the time of possession, keep drives alive, have the momentum, you're not going to be able to win. And if you look right now, Baltimore still is being able to put up numbers on the ground. Offensively, they have some flaws, especially when it comes to the passing attack. But they're the number 2 team in rushing. 167.7 yards per game, over 1,700 rushing yards this season, 5.3 yards per carry. They have 11 rushing touchdowns. They're able to move the sticks, and they're able to score inside the red zone. But the problem is they are only a first-half team, and you know this to be true because in all four losses that they have on the season, they were all blown leads, every single one. Let's go back and look at week two. Don't get me wrong. The Miami Dolphins offense right now is showing you why they've come to life. Tua Tagovailoa went off in the second half, over 450 passing yards, 6 touchdowns, had a career day. But part of the reason he had a career day was Baltimore only scored 10 points. Baltimore blew an early 28-7 lead. They went by 21, and they couldn't close out, especially defensively. Deep shots downfield, leaving Tyreek Hill wide open for 6. Let's go to another game. Bills, 2 weeks later. What happened? Another early lead, really good start. Lamar found a way to get the ball rolling. J.K. Dobbins on the ground, 2 early touchdowns. Got an early interception on the likes of Josh Allen. Had the lead going into the third quarter. Tyler Bass field goal, 11-yard touchdown run by Josh Allen. Game-winning field goal. Close it out. Blew yet another lead. Let's look at the next game. It was a loss to the New York Giants. This was the one that really hurt people. Up by 9 in the fourth quarter. Very limited quarterback play. Very limited when it came to the passing attack. I mean, I think it was less than 215 yards passing, if I'm not mistaken, for Daniel Jones. He had 2 touchdowns, both of which came extremely late in the fourth quarter. One of which came to the likes of Daniel Bellinger, and the last one came to Saquon Barkley. They had a 10-point lead going into the final 7 minutes, blew it again. And the last game, Trevor Lawrence. You saw him come up. You watched him have an opportunity to finally show the world what he is capable of. But it's not as if he didn't have multiple opportunities to get the stop. I mean, go back and watch that game. Fourth quarter, Gus Edwards, 1-yard touchdown run, up by 9. Again, what happened? Trevor Lawrence throws a pass to Jamal Agnew at the 1-yard line. Riley Patterson gets a field goal. Josh Oliver with the 12-yard touchdown pass Marvin Jones with a 14-yard touchdown pass with 14 seconds left. And then you get the 2-point conversion by Zay Jones. And yet still somehow, you almost win if you just have about enough ump, like one more yard, maybe 2 at the most, from Justin Tucker, you win that game. But still, you shouldn't be in this conversation. You're too good of a team. Baltimore also utilized its draft capital, moved up to go get a guy like Roquan Smith to add more pressure on quarterbacks like Trevor Lawrence, on quarterbacks like Josh Allen, on quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, they had 4 sacks, but it means nothing if you aren't able to cause turnovers either. And now you're looking right now at the situation in Baltimore. They're a mid-team. That's the best way I can put it. That doesn't mean they're a bad team. But they're a mid-team. They're 7-4. You saw Lamar Jackson make, honestly, one of the best throws of the weekend. 62-yard bomb right on the money to DeSean Jackson. And yeah, DeSean Jackson has speed. But that's a play that a lot of receivers are going to make. And that's a play because of the quarterback, not because of anything else. That is a huge, huge deal in my opinion. But look at the way the season's coming down to an end. You probably get a win over the likes of Denver. You maybe get a win over Pittsburgh. I'm not going to go that much into detail. Cleveland, it's all based off Deshaun Watson. Atlanta, maybe you get the win. Maybe. Because I don't trust this defense late in the game, and I definitely know that you can move the football, at least with Marcus Mariota as a running quarterback. Pittsburgh Bengals to close it out. You're not safe. You're not guaranteed to make the playoffs. Now, I believe that they will. I personally believe that they're going to finish with either a 10-7 or an 11-10. I mean, a 10-7 or an 11-6 record. I personally believe that. But I'm also going to be completely real. As the way this defense is played, especially late in the fourth quarter, they feel like they're gassed. They feel like that they don't have that extra ump. They feel like that the pass rush is not able to go ahead and get enough strides. Their last 3 losses alone, they've had 1 sack in the fourth quarter. That's not going to cut it. And that certainly is hell not going to cut it in the fourth quarter in games against Pittsburgh on the road in Pittsburgh, in games against Cleveland on the road in Cleveland, and in games against Cincinnati on the road against Cincinnati. You have to be able to add pressure. And right now, the only pressure is on John Harbaugh.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Well, it's that part of the show, Cole's Calendar, where we break down the national holiday and we pick one option and only one option for you out there. Because let's be real, if you need to have a national holiday every day, something is very wrong with you. But we pretend that there actually is nothing wrong with any of us in today's society, as we all are jacked up on caffeine and literally depressed as the world comes slowly colliding to an end. Michael, what are our options for Tuesday, November 29th?
November kind of sucks.
Well, of course it does. It's Scorpio season.
It's only two of them.
There's only two?
Yeah, this month has been kind of weak.
Okay, hold up. Yesterday, we actually picked our own national holiday. It's National Waffles Day.
Yeah, because it was trash.
I'm sorry. I wanted to go with the better of the food. We had to go with the breakfast food. So you know what? Screw pancakes. French toast is fizzling out. I want to go with the winner. Waffles are the winner. Do we have a winner today, or do we have to make another one up? I'm going to make another one up, aren't I?
First one. National Electronic Greetings Day.
Like an Evite or something like that?
It just says, encourage us to send an electronic greeting.
Okay. Do you send out Christmas cards?
No.
You don't? No. I did last year. I thought it was kind of cute.
I don't know. This is the first time I'm out of on my own, you know?
You're out on your own. You're exploring the world. You're seeing what your oyster has for you. As you pay for a house, I still
yeah.
Love
that's
that.
Why I won't send a Christmas card, because that money's going for my mortgage.
I'm sorry. Okay, let me out of curiosity. Let me ask you if this is tacky or not. I got invited to a wedding. I think it was like 3 years ago, by Facebook Evite.
That's tacky.
You think it's tacky, right?
A wedding, you have to send a actual. Wedding
invitation. Yeah. It was like a Facebook group chat. Hey, y'all, we're getting married. You want to come out to it? And I was just like, oh my God, can I wear like a t-shirt at this point if we're going to get invited on Facebook?
You get an invite like that, you should wear whatever you want.
Dude, you know what's funny? I showed up in a suit. The guy who was sitting next to me, t-shirt and jeans. And I'm like, I overdressed. I very much overdressed in this shindig. What's number two?
Nah, see, going back to that. Yeah, see, no. You have to have an actual invitation because you need to RSVP and stuff like that in advance because, you know, food is expensive at weddings and stuff like that.
Food is expensive at weddings and stuff like that. This is why we all should just elope and pay for our own weddings at, like, wedding chapels. We're at Vegas where we have Elvis impersonators. Go ahead and marry us. Actually, I'm not going to lie. Who would you want to be married by in Vegas? Would you want to be married by Elvis or another celebrity?
Ooh. I'll probably go with a DJ as a residency at Vegas.
You don't want to be married by a DJ?
Yeah.
I could see. You know what? I forget that you're really into the electronic music, so I could actually see that you would do that. I want to be married, I think, by a fake Dolly Parton impersonator. Hey, y'all. You want to get married? I think that'd be funny as all hell. You going to go ahead and put that ring on that finger? And it's like, yes, ma'am. Oh, God. I think that'd be funny. What's number two?
Next one is National Day of Giving.
You mean like Thanksgiving?
Yeah, but this will
you
take
mean like
place
Thanksgiving.
On Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Oh, so you know we're just gonna have more thanks of giving after Thanksgiving. Who comes up with this? Honestly, 800-224-2004. We don't need to go ahead and talk sports for the rest of the
this
day.
This one's good. This is giving those in need.
Well, now I feel like an a-hole, Michael. Now I just feel like the guy who...
See, you jumped the gun. Let me read it first.
I was premature. I was born premature, so maybe that's why I'm premature on jumping the gun on a lot of things. You know what? I hereby decree. National Day of Giving. Ladies and gentlemen, the holiday season is right around the corner. And with the holiday season being right around the corner, there are those in need who need your support. And by need your support, I'm not saying give them money. I'm not even saying give them food. But there's plenty of clothes that you probably don't have that could go towards a Salvation Army, go towards Goodwill, that could go on the backs of somebody who needs it most. So during this holiday season, be thankful for what you have, but give back to those in need, as it's a day of giving. National Day of Giving right here on Just Saying It. Michael, I'm giving you a lot of praise today. That's my day of giving.
Hold on. Before we move on, let's go back to this wedding thing.
Okay, okay. Now I'm interested in this.
Isn't it true that we're here in Texas, if you live with a significant other for 6 months, you're considered married already?
I don't know if... Okay. Here's the rule I do know. And this is a... I think it's a nationwide rule. There's the common law marriage, where if you've been with somebody and a significant other under the same residency for a certain amount of years, you in the eyes of property tax, when you go to court and stuff like that, you have an argument. In Texas, I think there's three things that you have to have. Number one, the same address. You cannot live outside. So you can't live at one spot and your significant other can't live at another spot. The other thing, you both mutually have to agree, yes, we are common law married. Now, that could be 2 weeks together, that could be 2 days together, that could be 20 years together, but you both have to agree that you're common law married. And number three, I think that the other thing is, you have to be able to just go to a courthouse and like tell them that we're common law married. But yes, like in the state of Texas, you do not need to go through any paperwork. You can like date somebody for 2 weeks. Oh, I married that person. You call them your wife, and the state will view it as that. By the way, I saw this on TikTok yesterday. Did you know that we're the only state where you can actually legally fight somebody, and if you both agree to fisticuffs, you will not get arrested?
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you both say something control, I forget what it was, but if you both say lateral control or whatever it is, like say someone bumps it, like I bump into you at the grocery market, and you go, watch where you're going. And then I'm like, lateral control. And a cop's like, hey, we both call lateral control. They're going to tell you, all right, just stay out of the street. And they will let you fight. They will legitimately let you fight. Texas is a weird state, dude. Texas.
Lateral control a cop.
What?
Lateral control a cop.
You can't. Imagine. No, you can't fight the cop. But you go up to the cop. Hey, I called lateral control on this guy. All right, don't go fight the street. Like, literally. Texas is weird, man. You see kids ride to school on horses. Yes, I have seen that. I've watched it literally going down I-45 one day. A horse literally riding the street. You can get common law married after 2 days, and you can go ahead and fight somebody in front of a cop. And by law, as long as you let the cop know, hey, I'm going to fight him, you can't arrest me afterwards, he's going to let you do it. We live in such a weird place. This is like honestly a fantasy land. You know what else is a fantasy, Michael? Believing that the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to finish above 500 this year. But I don't think it's a fantasy completely to say right now, Kenny Pickett is showing you enough to give him a shot going into 2023. 800-224-2004. So Kenny Pickett last night certainly did not live up to the standard of a first-round pick. He did not throw a touchdown pass. The only major play that he had was a big two-point conversion to take a 24-17 victory win. But he did have 174 yards passing. And he did go 20 of 28 passing, which was about a 71.4% completion rating. And he did finish with an 87.5 passer rating. And he did rush for 32 yards. And he did show a little bit more mobility than I think that we saw. There's something there with Kenny Pickett. I don't know what it is. The last three games, he's thrown one touchdown pass, zero interceptions, but he also has one rushing touchdown. He has an average passer rating of 84.8. He has an average completion rating of 66.3, and he's thrown for at least 175 yards in every single one of those games. Since the bye week, he has really turned on the Jets when it comes to what we're expecting from him as a passer. Not to mention, his passer completion percentage not only has gone up, but his yards per attempt has gone up. Right before the break, he was averaging about 5.4 yards per pass. Now he's averaging about 6.7. So it's gone up almost about a full yard, which is not much, but it is something. And you are seeing him be able to connect deep downfield and build a rapport with George Pickens, who ultimately, in my opinion, is going to be the future number one quarterback. I mean, the future number one receiver for this organization. They also have a decent run game with multiple players, Benny Snell, Anthony McFarlane, Najee Harris. They have a good tight end in Pat Freiermuth. They also have a very good complementary receiver who at this point probably needs to be your number two, maybe even your number three. And Deontay Johnson, his biggest thing is that he has too many drops. Like, that's the main thing for him. But you look at this Pittsburgh Steelers team. They're not going to go to the playoffs this year. We can all admit that. They're probably only going to win one or two more games. I would say they can go toe-to-toe with maybe Atlanta. They can probably go toe-to-toe with Carolina. I think that maybe, just maybe, they can go ahead again and beat the Raiders. But that's probably about it. I don't think they can beat Cleveland. I don't think they can beat Baltimore. But there's something there with Kenny Pickett to where I think when you look at this team, they're going to be picking somewhere in the top 10. They need offensive line help. They got to get a new left tackle. I think they need to go ahead and get some interior help as well. They're a team that certainly is nowhere near ready to contend. But if you have Kenny Pickett and you get the right skill people in there and you give him time to pass protect, I think what you can see is like an Andy Dalton-esque type quarterback. And I'm not here to say that that's a good thing. I'm not here to say that you don't want to upgrade. But as of right now, Andy Dalton types can get you through the day. They really can. Like Daniel Jones can get you through the day. Taylor Heinicke can get you through the day. If Kenny Pickett can play up to that level, I think that you're in a good spot, at least going into next season. Now, again, you want better play. You need better play. You know that the offensive personnel needs to be better. The offensive execution needs to be better. The play calling by Matt Canada needs to be better. But there's something there. There is. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's something that, you know, can be established long term. And I'm not sure that he can be the actual franchise quarterback. But there is something there. That consistency of him being able to move the sticks, pick up first downs, be able to have a little bit more velocity. Like the Mac Jones type eventually is going to be blown out of the NFL. But Mac Jones, Kenny Pickett, Kirk Cousins, those type of quarterbacks are able to win with completion percentage and consistency. Right now you're seeing the consistency. The one thing you want to see is him be a little bit more consistent at finding the end zone, but you are seeing the consistency. Three games, zero turnovers, and you're watching him build a rapport with guys like Deontay Johnson and really George Pickens, who ultimately had one of the best catches of the night and also was a factor when it came to that two-point conversion. So there's something to work with Kenny Pickett. Will I say that he's going to be the future of this organization? Absolutely not. I'd be foolish to say that at this point with eight interceptions against three touchdown passes. But I will say, going into this season, I thought for sure if Kenny Pickett didn't work out and they were going to be picking in the top five, Pittsburgh needed to go ahead and get another quarterback. Because you look at the names, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, even a guy like maybe a Hendon Hooker or a Bo Nix in round two. At this point, I feel like that if you continue to see Kenny Pickett make these type of moves where he's averaging 71.4 completion percentage and he's getting about a 90 to 97 passer rating and he finds the end zone and he doesn't have a turnover and he's able to pick up a few first down with his legs, give him another shot. Give him one more year. Let him have an offensive line. Let you spend some money in free agency. Go ahead and upgrade your defense. Don't waste a pick on a quarterback that's still going to fail because of the situation built around him. Pittsburgh is not in a good spot right now. Pittsburgh is far from being in a good spot right now. But if you can get better play from Kenny Pickett, you can get Mac Jones play, you can get Kirk Cousins play, Jimmy Garoppolo type play, you at least have something to build with for 2 years. After that, you can go ahead and decide what you want to do. But I think after last night's game, I'm starting to see more of the consistency factor of Kenny Pickett. And ultimately, that might be enough for Pittsburgh. That really might. 800-224-2004. On the other side of that game last night, it's important to realize right now why you need to have a coach with coaching experience. That's just the bottom line. Everyone wanted to say that Jeff Saturday, I get it, he's an interim guy. He's not the long-term solution. He's not going to be here past the end of the year. But you still can win football games. And whether or not you think that Indianapolis is going to be able to win a lot of football games to where they're going to be in at least the hunt for maybe a playoff spot because the AFC is a dumpster fire, that's a whole different thing. But good coaches, average coaches, bad coaches, anybody who's a coach, me playing Madden knows, in the fourth quarter, if I have three timeouts and I'm driving, give my offense a shot. Give my offense a shot to breathe, number one, and give my offense a shot to make a play. So you just saw, fourth quarter, Matt Ryan runs for a couple yards. It's third down. 59 seconds are on the clock. Most people, myself included, say, all right, timeout. Okay, timeout. Okay, timeout. Hey, Jeff Saturday, what are you doing, man? It's timeout. You got to get timeout in. And he chooses not to do that. You want to know why he chooses not to do that? Because he doesn't realize the situation. And sure, when you're on the field, maybe you understand it. But when you're on the sidelines, you don't really know exactly what's going on. Or at least you should know what's going on. And unfortunately for Jeff Saturday, he didn't. What happened next? They finally called a timeout with 30 seconds left. They weren't able to convert on fourth down. Congratulations, instead of going to overtime and maybe having a shot to get a second win as a head coach, you now get another loss. Let's be real. Jeff Saturday is an interim coach. And the reason why I cannot believe for one second that a team like the Houston Texans going after like a Josh McCown, or maybe you bring back like a Donovan McNabb, or maybe you bring back another coach, is because if you just saw zero coaching experience ends up hurting a team. It hurt them last night. It hurt Indianapolis in the past, and it's going to continue to hurt Indianapolis because if you know they need better play and they need better situational moves, that's a reason why you bring in the right coach. We'll close out just saying it right after this.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
One final thought, as I do every day here on Just Saying It. Be proud of where you're from. Listen, I understand that there's a lot of issues that we have going on in our country today, but this is the moment where we all need to come together. Because if the United States wins today against Iran, we'll be moving to the knockout stage in the next round of the World Cup. We already exceeded expectations tying 1-1 against England on Black Friday. Could this be a bloody Tuesday where the United States of America finds a way to go out on top? My prediction, United States 1, Iran 0. We move on to the knockout stage. Congratulations, United States. You should hire me full time. That does it for me right here on Just Saying It. I'll be back tomorrow to break down the college football playoff rankings, more look ahead into week 13 of the NFL, and of course, much, much more in the NBA and World Cup. It's Cole Thompson with Just Saying It, signing off. Have a good Tuesday, folks. See you tomorrow. Later.